You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I knew that I was different. I knew that I had something. In the 90s, everybody was wearing black. And when I came with the ice cream, man, we just lit the whole industry up to where when I start seeing other people wearing white, I'm like, man, we really been created a movement. If we able to acquire that brand, I would make Allen Iverson the equivalent to what Jordan is to Nike.
Yo, welcome to All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. The name says it all. If you like what you hear, download and subscribe and make sure you leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. You can also watch us on YouTube. Just visit youtube.com/allthingscovered. Pat P, what are we going to cover on this episode?
Man, we got so much to talk about from the NFL playoff, including your Steelers suffering an early playoff exit. Sorry to see that, my guy.
No question.
Also, my guy Jalen Ramsey comes up big once again against the Seattle Seahawks. Bad blood between the Ravens and the Titans. And we also got to talk about the national championship game. And we can't forget somebody that make them say, We got a hip-hop legend and Master P coming up at the halftime. Can't wait for the conversation.
Stay tuned. Now it's time for Chopping It Up. It's a lot to talk about. But when it comes to the Arizona Cardinals, unfortunately, their season is over. And since the Cardinals season is over, that means my guy, Pat Peterson, he's now in the offseason, right? There are a lot of fans, Pat P, that would love to exactly hear what your offseason regimen will be, what your offseason schedule will be outside of being an awesome father. You know, what happens when your season ends? Like, what's on your schedule? Like, how soon do you get right back into the hard nitty-gritty of working out or traveling? What do you have on tap for your schedule with the offseason?
About the first month, I get all the traveling out of the way, spend some quality time with my little ones because, you know, throughout the week and the weekends are busy. I'm either traveling or still preparing for the game. So during the season, it's tough to spend some quality time with the little ones. So just literally just picking up. Taking my daughter to school, picking her up from school, coming home, spending time with my little one, take him to the park. You know, yesterday we went and fed some ducks. I'm just trying to get, you know, do as much as I can because, you know, in April's going to be right back here before you know it. So I just want to spend some time in with my girls for the first month, for the most part, have some weekend trips. I'm going to take them up the Bell here to see some snow, this weekend. So, just moving around a little bit more than what we were able to do during the season. And secondly, I get back into it probably like the tail end of January to the first week of February. You know, it's basically a lot of cardio, a lot of bike riding, just to get my lungs back acclimated with, you know, high volume of exerting energy. So probably, you know, after that 2 weeks of getting back into the thick of things, I start getting on the field, doing some movement work, some football drills and things like that.
Yeah. And speaking of movement work and football drills, you know, I think it's only appropriate with us having this show, All Things Covered. And granted, we're nowhere close to being to hitting that 1 year mark with the show being in existence. But this will be the first off season that you're a part of a show and you also still going about your workout regimen. So, you know what I think would be super dope, Pat P, right? When you get in time. When you get closer, then getting ready for the conditioning part and the technical part with the movement that we have going on with All Things Covered, I think it'd be dope if we could have a camera along with myself being like the narrator. And I might work out with you a little bit, but I ain't doing everything that you're doing because I'm all the way retired. let's give the viewers a sneak peek about what it means and what it takes to be an all pro like corner like yourself. What you think about that?
I'm with it.
Because I definitely want to tap into that whole technical standpoint of working out with the hat when it comes to the bump and run coverage. And also, too, your eye placement, your body position, and your bump and run stance. The same could be said for off technique because there are a lot of, you know, young DBs that listen to the show, that watch the show, and they hit me with questions all the time about certain things that you do working out. And I think that would be the best way to educate not just the collegiate players, high school players, but a lot of professionals that are big-time fans as yours as well. So, if you up for that, I think that'd be something that we can make happen in the near future.
Oh, yeah, I'm with it. Let's do it.
There you have it. Hey, something for you guys to stay tuned and get ready for. Now it's time for Around the League. And I can tell you this much, this past weekend, if you're a football fan, you were in heaven times three. You had three ball games on Saturday, three ball games on Sunday, all entertaining, competitive ball games, to say the least. But the first game we're going to highlight wasn't too competitive. It started with my beloved Pittsburgh Steelers getting burned by the Cleveland Browns. And leading up to that ball game, there was some bulletin board material that some people were starting to talk about. Juju Smith-Schuster, friend of the show, we had him on earlier in the show. If you did get a chance to see that episode, please go back and listen to it and watch it. It was a real good top tier like episode. But Juju Smith-Schuster basically referred to the Browns as nameless gray faces, right? And the Browns did not take too kind of those statements, and they came out and played some big time football, ultimately upsetting the Pittsburgh Steelers 48-37. First playoff win since 1994, Pat P. In the first quarter, the Browns had 28 points. How surprised were you seeing that score?
Man, I was traveling, and I was like, what? I was like, no, this can't be right. Then I watched the game, and they just had a great balanced attack. And that's how the Browns been all year. I know, you know, like they've been like everybody wished they had a couple games back, but you know, the Browns been playing some solid football all year. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Baker Mayfield has grown up into his own. Steve has done a great job with him, you know, so it's been great to see him finally, you know. So many people have been giving him grief about, you know, having all these commercials.
Yeah.
You know, don't have many wins. But it's finally, it's good to finally see him fulfill, you know, what the Browns thought he would be.
Yeah, and I think that game just added to the rivalry because of the statement from Juju.
Right.
And then Juju doing the TikTok dance, the Corvette, I think that's the name of the song, you know, dancing and on people logos. And, you know, some people feel some type of way. And I saw Jarvis Landry actually mocked his famous TikTok dance in the locker room after their win. So I think that just, you know, adds fuel to that rivalry. And I can't wait to see these two teams play next season in 2021 in the regular season. Talking about another young quarterback getting his first playoff win, Broward County native, 954 stand up, Lamar Jackson.
First.
Hey, listen here. I felt like that was a hot team going into the playoffs because they They were in playoff mode going back the last 5-6 weeks. They couldn't afford to have any loss. And Lamar Jackson is he playing some real good football, man.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie, man. This when the Ravens are at there, this one, they're the scariest team that you want to play right now. Like you said, when they was in that playoff mode, just go back when I was in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Same exact thing. They had to win 6 games in a row. Mm-hmm. In order to have like a shot, and they got in, and you know how it is. And when you go into the playoff hot, that's like, you feel like nobody can touch you. And that's how the boys feeling right now, man. Them boys are hot. They're rolling. They know they got to go on the road and win. They got a big one here Saturday. And hell, I won't be surprised if they meet up with, cause who they got this week?
They got Buffalo.
Yes. I won't be surprised if they meet up with, Kansas City in the NFC Championship.
Ooh. So you're just saying Kansas City going to beat Cleveland. You're not even giving the Browns a shot?
I think the Chiefs win by 9.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Chiefs win by 9.
Yeah. Well, the game of the week for me, in the AFC is Buffalo and Baltimore.
By far.
That's the game of the week for me in the AFC. I think that's going to be must see.
That might
TV.
Be the game of the week of this weekend, honestly.
You got the Saints, and we're going to highlight that game in Tampa. But, you know, we've seen those two teams play already twice a year.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, we've seen that matchup already. And I think, honestly, don't be surprised. I think Tampa going to come out on top of this matchup.
Okay. But like I said, it's going to be must-see TV. You don't want to miss any of these ball games because you will get your money's worth for sure. Transitioning to the NFC, Pat P, your divisional foes, team that you don't really like at all. They probably don't like you neither. The Rams, the Rams and the Seahawks, right? Listen, the defense that the Rams are playing right now.
Hey,
I feel like, and I'm gonna give you a basketball analogy with this. We both are Laker fans, and we had Shaquille O'Neal on the show some weeks ago, and he talked about not arguably, but being the best, most dominating duo ever when he teamed up with Kobe, right? And I think right now, Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, they might be the most dominating duo that we've seen.
The boys are special, boy.
Aaron Donald is Shaquille. He just terrorizes you with brute strength, sneaky quickness, crazy athleticism, and he just played bully ball. And then Jalen is a guy who's looking for all problems. He doesn't mind being the villain, and they complement each other real well.
Yeah.
And what they did this past weekend against Seattle, Pat, they could have won the ball game if I played quarterback. That's how I feel. they scored again. Jalen just put the clamps on Metcalf again. Yeah. Aaron Donald was a terror until he went out of the ball game. Man, just that defensive effort, man. What are you seeing from the Rams right now that's allowing them to click? Not to mention, they got a Florida State running back, King Cam Akers, that's toting that rock as well.
You know, I have an opportunity to watch those guys for, you know, over the last two seasons. Obviously, they have a different scheme this year. They're running a little bit more quarters this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, and the great thing about quarters, when you have a front four like that, it allows you to cover up the field.
Yeah.
And when you got Aaron Donald, you can move Aaron Donald anywhere on the field.
Anywhere.
Complementary pieces that's able to work, you know, and get, you know, produce as well. I mean, the sky's the limit for them. I mean, they don't have to blitz at all.
No, they don't. And don't forget about Leonard Floyd. He's been the wild card for their defense.
Complementary pieces. That's a complementary piece.
Yeah.
So when you able to rush four, you know, and drop seven, it's hard for anybody to do anything on you. And also being stout in the run at the same time. So that's a recipe for success. And those guys are playing some great football over the last 6 to 5 weeks as well.
Yeah, correct. And they're playing good team football. And speaking of that ball game, the Seahawks just fired their OC, Brian Schottenheimer. And he's on the outside looking in. I'm not saying because of that loss, but, you know, I think they had some issues with his play calling throughout the year, which is crazy because curly hair Russell Wilson started off on fire and he just died down. You remember they were saying, let Russ cook, let Russ cook. It's kind of hard to cook when you ain't got no meat.
Yeah. I agree, but I think I haven't seen the stat line, but I'm interested to see how the absence of Carson played a role in that because
Chris Carson.
We play Seattle twice a year. Mm-hmm. Russell really, I mean, they throw the ball, but Seattle is a running football team. Yeah. They rely on they put their bread and butter on the ground.
Yeah,
Russell is obviously just a great complimentary piece that can go out there and do, you know, over and beyond things. But if you ever look at their offense, they don't need no offensive coordinator anyway. They don't throw the ball on time anyway. It's like everything is impromptu. So it's like Russell runs over here, then he releases it. I think, man, over the two games we played them, I kid you not, Matt, out of probably 95 passing plays, Russell probably threw 10 of them on time.
On time, yeah. He makes things happen. He improvises a lot.
They don't need no offensive coordinator. It's the running game. And they never had a solid offensive line. That's always been an Achilles heel for them. And it just, you know, they rely on the running game and they suffer some injuries this year. And I think that's what kind of hurt them at the end of the stretch. Like everybody else, you know, that wasn't able to, you know, be as at full ammo with him. So I believe that's what came down to it. It just wasn't able to move the ball, run the ball on the ground to open up the play. Cause they built off play action and boots.
Yeah. So that offense.
And what sets that up?
The running game. You got to
so
be able to run.
The run game ain't there. It's different now. So I think that's the biggest thing that hurt them late in the year.
No question. All things Kermit, Pat Peterson, Brian McFadden. We're talking about playoff football. The Seahawks just fire Brian Schottenheimer. Make sure you stay tuned. We got Master P joining us later in the show, but right now we're going to tap into the All-Pro team was announced. And let's talk about the secondary. Let's talk about the corners. Jalen Ramsey made the All-Pro team. No surprise there. Xavien Howard made the All-Pro team as well. Others receiving votes. You got Jair Alexander. Oh, I really like his game out there in Green Bay. Trey White, Marlon Humphrey, James Bradbury, who's also played some real good football for the Giants. J.C. Jackson, right? J.C. Jackson. It's crazy because the Pats didn't even have his name listed as a potential Pro Bowler, but he received some votes for the All-Pro team. At the cornerback position, we look at the two guys that made the team. Did they get it right? And do you look at any other potential cornerback that received votes that probably should be a little higher on that list?
I think they definitely got it right. You know, I thought Jalen played some plays, is still playing some unbelievable football right now.
Yep.
Literally just putting the clamps on everybody that comes his way. And Xavien Howard has been another phenomenal, had another phenomenal, and not only this year, consistent year. You know,
he got 10 picks, right?
I
think he finished with 10 or 11.
Okay, I know at one point he had. I know at one point he had 9 with 2 games to play.
He got double digits. He finished with double digits for sure.
All right, yeah. Cool. So, and also when you have 10, if you have double digit picks, it's
a wrap.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's automatic. And he did the same thing last year. So, it's they definitely got it right this year. Is to see those guys continue to be successful on a consistent basis.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to show that the work that they're putting in the off season. It's paying off.
It's paying off. And also, too, look at the safeties. Tyrann Mathieu, friend of the show. You know, we had him on in the very, very first episode of All Things Covered. He made the All-Pro team along with Micah Fitzpatrick and your teammate, Buda Baker. Baker. What are your thoughts about the safeties?
I thought they got that right as well. I thought Micah was been playing some unbelievable football since he got with Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a man on the tear since he got there, literally, since their first game. And Honey Badger's been a Honey Badger. You know, he shows up in every big game. He shows up in every big moment. And he always finds a way to seize it. And the switchblade Buda Baker, you know, he's everywhere where you need him and where you don't expect him to be. You know what I mean? So, he's a guy that takes a lot of pride in his work, that takes a lot of pride in his game. And it shows every Sunday. And, the effort, the work that he put into it, it definitely feeds off into his teammates. So those three guys are definitely well deserving of those all pro votes.
Yeah, no doubt. So now let's transition to the divisional round look ahead. And we're not going to talk about some of the games because you gave your picks on the matchups this weekend, but let's talk about the individual matchups. Man, wide receiver, cornerbacks, right? Davante Adams versus Jalen Ramsey. Ooh, I want to see this matchup out in Lambeau Field, man. Knowing both individuals extremely well, and I think Davante is probably one of the smoothest route runners, pure route runners in the game. His release is so smooth off the line of scrimmage. What do you expect to see in that matchup, Pat Pete?
Man, that's going to be an electrifying matchup, man. That's the one that I'm looking forward to over this weekend for sure. You know, like you said, Davante is very, very smooth, very crafty in his route running ability, getting in and out of his breaks. And, you know, Jalen is a big physical corner that, you know, that invites those short routes because it gives him – and Davante can take the tops off the defense as well, but he's a much more of a possession-type receiver. You know, I call him – he's like a 18 under receiver. It's not many times he's going to run routes over 18 yards. Kind of eliminate unless he's in a slot. You know, that's a big red flag. When he's in a slot, you know, that's a slot fade coming. But when he's outside the numbers, I don't know where over 18 yards. So I think that's going to fall right there in Jalen's hands. You know, it's going to come down to, you know, if he's able to disrupt the timing between him and Aaron at the line of scrimmage. But I got to take my boy Jalen. You know, I got to go with the DB.
Yeah, that's only right. Who cares if you're being biased?
Right. I think Jalen come out on top. I give Davante 41.
Okay. Okay. 40. So we transition to another game in the NFC. You got Mike Evans versus Marshon Lattimore. It seems like Lattimore has had Evans' number. I mean, the last three receiving lines for Evans versus Lattimore, 2 targets, 0 receptions. 2 targets, 0 receptions. 2 targets, 0 receptions. What do you expect to see in that matchup?
Oh, man, knowing Mike Evans and knowing how big Tom Brady knows this game is, I guarantee you that won't be the stat line this week.
If he's healthy, he's getting a catch.
I guarantee you that won't be a shuffle pass.
He's going to get a catch if he's healthy.
Right. No doubt about it. I guarantee he gets some yards in the catch this week, 100%. Yeah. I put my house on it that he will have to catch in some yards.
No question.
But that's going to be another fun matchup as well down in the Superdome, in the Mercedes Superdome. You know, that's going to be a kind of tricky one because, you know, Mike Evans, you know, he's very sneaky. You know, he can have a big game and he can have like not a mediocre game, but a game that's, you know, that's just all right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, he can always have those games that's like 81 yards, maybe a tub here on 4 receptions. Then he can have a game where he had 131 for 10 reception, 2 tubs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, it just all depends on how they enter him into the game early. I think that's going to predicate on giving us an indication if they're really trying to feed Mike or get him involved into this game in order for them to be successful.
No doubt. And then there's another matchup that I like to highlight. You got Stephon Diggs. He may line up on Marlon Humphrey or Pierce. You know what I mean? So Marcus Peters, so that's another intriguing matchup as well in the Baltimore Ravens Buffalo matchup. So it's going to be some prime time individual matchups.
Marcus Peters will have a pick this week.
He's the ultimate ball hawk. And when he pick you off, he's going to let you know about it.
And it might be a six. So Marcus, I'm telling you, that dude, he's always around the ball and playing against, you know, Josh Allen this year. He's a gunslinger. He's going to try to fit some balls in some tight places. And I think that's where, you know, that Ravens secondary going to make them pay.
Now it's time for college check-in. We got a chance to see the last collegiate game, the national championship game between Alabama and Ohio State. I don't have to really talk about the game. You guys know what happened. Alabama took care of their business with ease. But the thing I want to talk about, the play I want to talk about, Devontae Smith.
The deserving of the Heisman.
Listen, no question. This is what I compare Devontae Smith to two players. Marvin Harrison, because of his route running and his reliable hands and how crafty he is with his body, along with a mixture of DeSean Jackson, because he's so smooth and explosive. You know how some guys, when they're running.
Yeah, they like, you just be floating.
Yeah. And you know, some guys, you know, they moving fast. Like if you see Tyreek Hill running, you know, he's moving fast. But when you look at a guy like DeSean Jackson or a Devontae Smith, they're moving fast, but they're just floating. It's not like they're touching anything.
No, man, nothing at all.
He is now, he has the SEC record for most receiving yards in SEC history, just surpassed Jordan Matthews. Man, the man had 215 yards receiving in a half of play, Pat P. I know you never seen anything like that, but what do you think about Devontae as a professional wide receiver, number one?
I mean, he gonna have a great transition. Being able to watch him over the years in Alabama, man, they might be starting to turn into a freaking receiver U.
Oh, no question. Yeah.
I mean, they putting out some studs year after year after year after year after year. So, yeah, I think he's just gonna fall in that same category as Ridley. You know,
is he the best receiver ever to come through Alabama?
Probably statistically, yeah, but not overall. Julio's the best. Julio's the best to come out of Alabama.
Now, okay, I had this debate earlier, right?
Julio and Devontae. Are you talking about college career, or are you talking about?
Yeah, because we can't compare Devontae's pro career because he hasn't gotten there yet. Collegially.
Right. Yeah. But far as the, like, what's the name? He strike fear in hearts.
Julio.
Smith? No.
Smith. Oh, yeah, Smith, yeah. He's like Allen Iverson.
Right. But it's just something about seeing a bigger guy, you know, that size, that strong, and able to do the same things that he's able to do.
That makes you gravitate to that player.
Right. So you don't see that. You don't see that often, you know, so I think that's what set them apart. And I believe I will always take, if a bigger guy can do something that a little guy can do, I'm thinking he's the better player because if I'm bigger than you, therefore I'm stronger than you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Then therefore, you know what I mean? I'm able to endure more as far as being able to take routes across the middle, being able to do it, because Julio has it all. He can run those nine routes. He can run great routes. Mm-hmm. He can run those slants. You know what I mean? He can do everything that Smith can do, but Smith may be just a little bit faster.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing. When you look at Smith, you're like, man, this man he's not gangster like that. When you look at him, his uniform, this man don't have nothing. Play around what you want to.
Put that ball in his hand, boy.
Man been a playmaker since day one. Remember the national championship game against Georgia?
Yeah.
He was the recipient of that reception from Tua.
Yeah.
Out the gate as a freshman.
Out the gate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he just has that it factor, and I can't wait to see.
It was like a nine ball or a post or something.
It was a nine.
I just remember running up under that thing.
Kirby said they was in quarters, and Tua looked, they were quarter, quarter, half, and Tua looked the half safety off to the field and struck backside.
That was the last play.
Yeah, that was the last play. Overtime. Yeah, that's what won the game.
Man, did you ask Kirby, man? What the heck was that safety? Dude, I don't care nothing about the looking ball, man. He said, he's a quarter half, man. Play your half.
He allowed Tua eyes to manipulate him. Because you got to realize Tua's a freshman. Tua was a true freshman. And when Tua jumped in the game, you know, was high level intensity already. But he said Tua, man, looked off and just struck it. And there went number six.
So But the thing is, bro, that's your half, though.
Like, I understand that. I'm right there with you.
No matter if the quarterback looks you off at all, we know
stay
that he's in the flat. We know he's in the flat, and you're the last line of defense on that side with the receiver present.
Yeah.
Where that quarterback
and they playing quarters to the opposite side of you, so let them handle their business. Yeah.
Man, when I saw that, I said, come on. And who he went, he was like a top pick too.
Yeah, that was that LaConte? I can't remember.
24,
not two. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, but you know, that's why you got to do your own job. Do your job. And the words of Belichick.
I was so pissed. I wasn't even rooting for him. I was just like, that was just like you can't make that mistake. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, come on, man.
Well, that's Devontae Smith, where he's been making plays since day one. Even at that time as a freshman, he probably was 150 pounds. So this man just has that it fact. He might get drafted to your old favorite team in the Miami Dolphins, and they might take him number three overall. So
they said the Jets going to go get that boy, man.
Well, he won't make it out of the top five. That's for sure.
I don't think he make it out of the top three.
I can see that. I'm right there with you. Either the Jets or Miami.
Yeah, that dude is special. And if he go to Miami, Miami definitely going to the playoffs for sure. You should put some money on that for next year.
I can see that happening. Now, check this out. We're going to take a quick break. But on the other side of that break, man, we coming back with an icon, hip-hop legend, entrepreneur, hustler, the ultimate hustler. Master P, No Limit Soldier, get your tanks out, get your dickies on. He'll be joining us on the opposite side of this break. Stay tuned.
I got your hook up. Holla if you hear me. I got the hook up. Holla if you hear me.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Yo, we promise you guys Master P, and he will be joining us, but I want to give you guys a heads up. Man, we might have a little audio issue with Master P in this interview. It's not because of the interview is trash. No, sir. It's because this man lives in a 50,000, 60,000 square foot palace, and his house is so big, he's echoing. But quality, informative conversation with P, you definitely will enjoy it. But just in case you hear a few echoes here and there, this man has a huge crib. Hopefully I can get a crib like that one day. Welcome back, listeners and viewers. Back from halftime. Got an opportunity to hydrate. And like we promised you guys early in the show, we got a special guest joining us. Every week, all things covered, we will deliver like the mailman. And we got an iconic individual right now joining us here, all things covered. Man, it's an individual we all know globally, domestically, a rapper, actor, producer, music, and film, entrepreneur, baller, and most importantly, the ultimate hustler. Master P is joining us here on All Things Covered. Appreciate you, P, for joining us, man. How's everything going? Number one, P, man, you're living real good, man. You're inspiring everybody right now, man. You're living real good. But thank you for joining us, man. How's everything going with you?
Nah, man, you know what? God is good. I come from the ghetto. I come from struggle. I come from pain. And I tell everybody, if I could do it, you could do it. but you can't be afraid to change and grow up and do better with your life. And so God has blessed me and my family, man. I'm a humble man. I'm a man of God. And my thing is, the more we make, the more we give. I want to put other bosses on, other entrepreneurs on. It's not just about me. So I created a platform called Master P Reviews, to where we let other business owners and their products shine. That's my ultimate goal. I want to have thousands of us at the table, not just one or two multimillionaires and billionaires. I want it to be thousands of us so we can change the game together.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And P, yeah, with you, there's so much we can talk about, and we will get through, you know, all the positive things that you've been involved in. But for first and foremost, I think it's only right we highlight the New Orleans Saints, right?
Yeah.
Your hometown favorite football team, clearly playing some real big time football in the playoffs, getting ready to have a home playoff game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Man, with your Louisiana roots and being a Saints fan, how excited are you about the ball club and what they potentially could do this year in the playoffs?
Nah, I'm very excited. Long way, even through the pandemic, you know, we've always been the underdogs, and every year we get better and better. That's sort of like I do in life. I told my son the other day, because, you know, me and Romeo, we're not just a father and son. We're definitely partners. We are definitely business partners, but we also have one thing in common. We love the Saints. So, that's our favorite team. And, you know, every year we have that opportunity, and we just taste it, because we done got one Super Bowl. We need some more, and nobody in our way right now but Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. And we got to do something big this week.
Hey, man, it's going to be a fun one for sure. But Master P, man, you achieved a lot in the music industry. How special was it to play in a preseason game for the Hornets and for the Raptors?
Yeah, you know what? To be honest with you, what people don't realize is you go back and look at it. And that's what I'm going to do next. I'm going to put out a biopic on, you know, my NBA career. It was tough, man. It was a lot of hard work. And, I mean, I played in so many NBA games. So I was the last cut for both of those teams. So, you know, when you're the last cut, you know that you could actually be on that team. But I mean, it was an amazing experience, but it was a lot of hard work, and it's like business. You have to get uncomfortable if you want to be successful. And, people don't realize, you know, I have two young boys right now. You know, my sons, one is getting ready for college next year. He's a high school senior, and one is a freshman, and they some of the top basketball players in the country, Hersey and Mercy Miller. So, I just get that game to them, saying, you know what, if you want it, you got to work, you got to outwork the next man. So, you know, I was almost there. I feel like they're going to get there with their hard work. So, I mean, it's incredible, man, to be able to do music, sell 100 million records, and be able to play in the NBA. That ain't nothing but God.
No question. You know, prayer and faith, and along with hard work, like you said. A few weeks ago, we had LeVar Ball on our show, right?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he's been echoing a challenge to Michael Jordan on a one-on-one battle on the hardwood. But we understand you actually once you had an encounter with MJ on the court, and you came out on top. Can you tell us a little bit about that story?
You know what, man? First of all, let's get it straight that MJ is probably the best NBA basketball player I ever seen in my life. But you know, when you have confidence, and that's what I tell kids, it don't matter who you playing. So when I got on the court, you know, you're just another number. So, you know, and I respect this man, because he's probably one of the best players on the planet. But, you know, I had Metal World Peace on my team, a couple other guys, I think Gilbert Arenas. They was all college players at the time. And they had a lot of NBA players on Jordan team. And you know, we just went at them, man. You know, it was a pickup game. That let me know that even though, you know, Jordan was really on his way out, but, no, a win is a win.
No question. Do you remember how many points you scored?
No, because it was a pickup. It was a pickup game. So, you know, it wasn't really just about me. We had a lot of incredible players on the team. You know me. Once I get on the court, man, my confidence, and I'm a lion. I don't care if you're an elephant. I just look at you as you lunch. You know what I'm saying? I don't care who you is. I don't look at that you're bigger or stronger than me. I'm that lion. And I look at an elephant, a bull, or whatever. I look at them as lunch. So, you know, if you look at, that's why the Lions is probably the one one of the most dangerous animals in the jungle because, right. You know, he don't care about who he going up against. He look at it as lunch. And that's the type of confidence I have no matter what I do. I did it in the music industry to where, you know, you had Tupac, you had Biggie Smalls, you had some of the best talent in the world. But I always was able to, you know, work hard and prevail to the top. And that's the way, you know, I raised my kids. It's not about what you have. You have to stay hungry and stay humble. But you also, you know, you got to know you're a beast. So when I get on a basketball court, that's the way I feel. I don't care who it is. It could be Michael Jordan, but if I'm on that court, you know, I'm not going to say you better than me. Like that's just how it go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, I'm a competitive person like that. Yeah. And he is too. So nobody's gonna beat Joy. I mean, that's just how he feels. So I don't care if I catch him on a bad day, a win is a win.
Could you beat LeVar Ball in a 1-on-1?
Man, come on now. Don't even start. Don't even start that, cause y'all know this stuff gonna go crazy. And, you know, but I told LeVar when I seen him. You know, he was like, man, cause you know, you can't say that right now because, you know, I still ball. So I don't want to make it where LeVar gonna say, well, man, I'm older now.
Y'all both 53. But the thing is though, Pete, you work out a lot cause I've been seeing your social media. You know what I mean? You get your sons out there, y'all lifting weights, y'all walking around the neighborhood. LeVar came on our show and he said he's eating steak and milk. I'm like,
he ain't working out before you.
What kind of diet is that? Steak and milk. That don't even make sense.
Man, tell him get on that 90-day challenge with me, man.
Yeah, you gotta send him an invite.
Man, LeVar said he don't work out.
But you know what I do respect about him, man, how he raised his kids and they're doing great. And he just stuck to what he believed in. So, you know, that's what life is about. And if we're gonna change the game, it's gonna start with economic empowerment. So when you look at black fathers, I mean I really respect him for, you know, taking care of his kids and being there with them. And I mean, look what LaMelo is doing right now. It's incredible.
Man, it's nothing like seeing, like you said, you know, us black fathers, you know, fulfill those things that others.
We always say all the negative stuff. Think about it. There's nobody showcase. They can say whatever they want about LaVar. They know one thing. He's going to be there for his kid. And that's the stuff we need to highlight. The media need to highlight that. But they don't.
Right. Well, Pete, there have been a lot of reports out there about your interest in Reebok. What stands out about the Reebok brand to you?
Well, I feel like there's a lot of equity left in there. And I feel like Allen Iverson hasn't been to the forefront. And if we able to acquire that brand, I would make Allen Iverson the equivalent to what Jordan is to Nike. And I feel like he needs to be celebrated. And I feel like this brand could be incredible because – as us, we buy a lot of tennis shoes, we buy a lot of clothing, but none of that money comes back to us. So I'm just saying we need to empower us by acquiring a company like that and making it black owned so we can put the money back into the community and the culture because we built that brand. I mean, I grew up on Reebok. I grew up on Nikes and the Adidas.
The Reebok Classics.
Yeah, bottom.
So you know what I'm saying? But think about it. If it has never been an African-American owner of none of those companies. So it's time. It's time to diversify the game right now and put some of us at the forefront of the table or get a seat at the table. And I feel like even if we don't get this deal, I feel like we're opening up the doors to so many other African-American minority business owners, knowing that they can acquire a company of this magnitude. Like we don't realize that we can go and buy a company like that through the banking system and acquire the debt. And so I want to educate my people on the same journey with me as we doing this. If you go back and look at Reginald Lewis, he acquired companies in 1970. He was the first African-American billionaire that I know of from Maryland. Mm-hmm. So if he could have did that in the 1970s, imagine what we could do now with the education and wisdom that we able to receive now. And I think this is going to be an educational transaction that I'm going to be able to share with the world to show, you know, our culture, how this done. And then now we'll have thousands of us at the table acquiring companies like this.
Yeah. Well, P, I got this is a two-part question for you regarding the Reebok deal. When I got drafted, Reebok owned the rights to the NFL. You know, they had the Reebok logo on the jerseys and the pants, and everything we wore on the sideline was Reebok down. So if you're able to acquire Reebok, what are you going to do outside of having Allen Iverson as the forefront of the brand? What else are you going to do to try to make the brand relevant once again? And the second part, how close are you guys, you and Baron Davis, to actually, you know, having some serious talks with the brand to be able to get that deal?
Yeah, well, I mean, if this deal go through, we would go at the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball. We would go after everybody. We would go after the colleges. I mean, because this is a big time national brand. Mm-hmm. How close we are, I mean, we're just as close as anybody else at the table. Only thing is, Reebok got to decide whether they want to take our money or take somebody else's money. Do they want to go? Do they want to go black? Or do they want to keep doing what they've been doing for 15 years? So I just think that is a changing of the guard. So we just as close as anybody else with a seat at the table.
Gotcha.
We're going to continue to stay on the ball tip. We know Romeo had a little career at USC after having a huge music career. How were you guys able to manage the both throughout the years by becoming so famous and also stepping on the college campus?
Yeah, well, you know what? We stay humble. You know, Romeo is a lion. And, I mean, he loved sports. He loved basketball. People don't realize, like, Romeo was like an Allen Iverson growing up as a kid. Mm-hmm. He put a lot of work in. And it was able to get him to college. And I think it could have gotten me even further if he wasn't doing all the other things. So this is a family of basketball. Like, basketball changed my life, saved my life. And I was able to hand the ball down to my kids. And then you look at, you know, my two younger sons now that's coming after Romeo, one in the ninth grade, one of the top players in the country, Mercy Miller. They'll be playing on ESPN next week. Mm-hmm. And then my other son is a senior, Hurston Miller, one of the top players in the country. And, I mean, it's just a lot of hard work, man. And I think that people don't realize that the love that we have for basketball and how it's a team effort, that a sport that we bring into our family values at the same time, because it's not about one of us. It's about us looking out for the team and knowing your players. So we use that same lifestyle with our real life as we deal with basketball.
Yeah. And Pete, speaking of Hersey, right? Yeah. He has an offer from LSU.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's right in your backyard. Is he strongly considering the Tigers? And if you had your pick, where would you like to see him play college basketball at?
Well, I'm going to tell y'all something. We definitely like the Tigers, but we know one thing. If it don't happen, we're going to end up somewhere in the SEC. So we really like that league. It's a lot of strong teams in the SEC. So we getting close.
Wait, P, when you talk about SEC, it's football. But when you talk about basketball, it's ACC. And I went to Florida State. Little Hamilton doing some big things in Tallahassee,
know,
man. We got to see what's up. We got to get Hersey down to Tallahassee for a visit. It'll change his life.
Yeah. No, you know what? what I love about Leonard Hamilton is I went to visit down there with Romeo down there.
Uh-huh. Because our film school, I remember it was between SC and Florida State because of film school, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, the one thing about Leonard, man, he take care of the men, especially the black men. It's a family atmosphere. Yeah. So I definitely love that. You know, with this pandemic, it's been, you can't do the normal stuff you could do, you know, like going to visit these schools. And I think that's going to, a lot of people are going to lose out because you don't have that personal time that you can spend with these coaches. And, so we're definitely trying to figure that part out now, but that's definitely, I mean, If Leonard offered us a scholarship, we'd definitely consider that. But you know, it's gonna be either way, man. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna be either way. Yeah. We gotta go do what we gotta do.
No question, no doubt.
Wish him not, Harris, nothing but success. But what made you wanted to get into movies? You know, I know you have a very, very broad imagination and being an entrepreneur. Yeah. What made you wanted to get into like writing movies?
Well, you know, you got to diversify your portfolio. And when you grow up in poverty and the ghetto, which you've seen all the stuff I've seen, you either want to laugh or cry or whatever, something like, you know, but I've seen it all. So Sure. Instead of living like that, how can I put it into a movie, into a movie script? And that's when I started creating movies on my own. And it's just been a blessing, man. I think that when God spare your life and he give you a second and a third chance, then you just got to make the best out of it. Now, people always say, you need to just be good in one thing. No, because if you're not good in a lot of different things that work with each other, that's how I'm able to diversify, you know, my portfolio, knowing that if I do music, I could do movies, I could do TV, yeah. I could do clothing, it all go together, you know. And now what I'm doing now, I could do food. I mean, we're going to eat food no matter what. So we grew up on noodles, potato chips, pancakes, syrup. You know, we look at Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben, all those brands of mockery of us. And I'm saying, no, let's go back and actually own this. So the more we make, the more we give, so we can take care of the elderly, we can take care of the next generation.
Right. Is there any more movies in the works?
Yes, we got some movies in the works. The Master P biopic, Ice Cream Man, King of the South, that's in the works soon as we get back. And then I got this movie called God Is Real. So this is one of those things, because, you know, we done been through so much this year. You know, for us to survive and be here now is nothing but God.
No question.
Speaking of those movies, like who are some of your actors or actresses that's like you would like to go after to play someone?
I mean,
Pat P and Brian McFadden.
I got some big people in the line for this, but I definitely let y'all know real soon. Okay. I just don't want to jinx it. I'm waiting for it to go through.
Gotcha.
And you know, I'm gonna let y'all know real soon.
Hey, Pete. If you need some extras, me and Pat P, we'll nominate ourselves.
I'll come through for sure.
Yeah, we'll come through, man. If you need some extras, we definitely be there for you. You ain't even have to pay me.
For sure.
I get my own flight and everything. Just put me on the set. I'll be all right. Yeah. Hey, but P, you know what, man? You're an icon. You're a legend. And when I let some of the homies know, man, I was fortunate enough to get you on the show. They had so many musical questions for me. So we're going to transition to the music, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you produce... You released 15 studio albums, and I remember all of them from start to finish. But the one that really hits home for me is Ice Cream Man. Yeah. And when that Ice Cream Man dropped, man, it seemed like instantly everything changed for you dramatically when it came to the musical tip. Was that like the groundbreaking moment for you, that album, the Ice Cream Man album?
Yeah, I knew that I was different. I knew that I had something. Because back in that time, in the 90s, everybody was wearing black. And when I came with the Ice Cream Man, we just lit the whole industry up to where it's like white Dickies, ice cream truck. Everything had changed. And it was like, you know, when I start seeing other people wearing white, I'm like, man, we really been created a movement. Because, you know, NWA, the Ghetto Boys, all they wore was black.
Mm-hmm. Ice cream.
All they wore was black. And then, you know, when they see me, they was like, man, this dude is different. And that's what I tell kids all the time, you know, being different is going to get you to where you need to go at. It's going to be longevity. And till this day, you know, it's still one of people's favorite albums, Ice Cream Man. But that album actually opened the doors for my career on a national level.
Oh, no question. And speaking of them white Dickies, I never could find them white Dickies. Every time I went to Walmart, they always had the blue, the black, or the tan.
Yeah,
I couldn't get no white Dickies. I was trying to find no white Dickies.
Yeah, man. I got a quick question for you. What got you into like wearing the looks, like your shades? Like anytime you see Master P, you know he got his looks on. What, like,
no question.
I know that's your signature, your staple of your brand. Like, what got you into rocking the looks?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, just being out in Cali and then going back home to the South, and man, just that was just us, man. You know, like, you couldn't afford a lot of other stuff, but you definitely could get you a nice pair of shades when you were in the hood. So I, you know, my signature piece right there. Like, you know, I might can't afford all the other stuff, but, you know, I could always get me a nice pair of shades, and I'm straight.
Hey, you still rocking the Rolex ones and the Versace ones?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I definitely like those.
Yeah, that's dope, man.
Hey, P, your poem created No Limit Soldiers, man. I think you assemble probably the greatest list of artists ever on the label. You know what I mean? Hometown heroes, to say the least. And then you went out and you ventured and was getting, you know, some of the best that were available. And I think when you look at the free agency market in sports, it's a big deal. But you made free agency a big deal in the music game, going to sign Mystical, going to sign Snoop Dogg. Yeah. If you can give me your top five list of No Limit Soldiers when you guys are in your prime, number one being the best, right? And you can't list yourself. Give me your top five rap artists that were on No Limit Soldiers in your prime.
Well, I'm going to tell y'all straight. I mean, even though he was just a wild boy, Soldier Slim, and I really love him.
I'll pay for it. I'll pay for it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people don't know our relationship, man. Like, even when Slim left No Limit, bro, I love that dude so much to where, you know, I just wanted to see him make it. Yeah. But, you know, when you're in the ghetto and you caught up and drugs involved, man, it just brings you down. Like, that was one dude that no matter what, I couldn't lift a bone in my body to hurt this man or nothing on him, even though when he just, cause he get out of his mind and it's like, I'm like, dude, you know how talented you are, bro? Like, you really know that you really Tupac for the South for us.
That's a strong statement.
Right. Man, but it's the drugs that just kill our people, man, and we don't want to accept that. Like, this dude was one of the most talented artists. I mean, he just was raw, and he was real, and he was talented, man, but he, you know, he loved the hood. It kind of like remind me like Nipsey Hussle of the modern day, how Nipsey Hussle, like the hood just take you under. But this guy, man, was so talented, so he would have to be on my one.
Because Soulja Slim is one.
Man, well, let me tell you why. When I met this guy, he was rapping, he made his own beats. I'm like, this dude just, you know, he'll beatbox, rap, beat it on his own because he's been to jail.
Yeah.
But I think that's what got him caught up, man, because I just want this generation to realize you don't have to be the toughest guys in the world. When you got talent, let your talent speak for yourself. Let your talent take you out of the negative environment. But sometimes it draws you right back. And then my number two got to be my brother, Corey Miller, C-Murder. Same thing. One of the most talented guys in the world, but it's too real for yourself sometimes, you know? And you don't have to be on all the time. And you look at both of those lives, Soldier Slim dead, C locked up. You know, we have to send a message to this next generation. We dying young. We getting incarcerated because we're not thinking outside the box. And we making it out of these environments with our talent. But we drawn right back because we think that we got to be too real for the streets. And my thing is, anybody watching this, the streets don't care about you. The streets are not going to bury you. The streets don't care about you when you're gone. You know, it's always somebody else to take the spot. So my third got to be Mia X.
Ooh, Mama Mia.
Yeah.
Mama Mia, man. Hey, it's funny you mentioned Mama Mia because I just saw, I think it was her birthday. She just turned 21.
Yeah.
And I think she posted a freestyle when y'all was in Rap City, the basement.
Yeah.
Man, she went hard, man. She went hard.
She opened the door for women in Southern hip hop and for women in the street music back then. You know, so, and then I would have to go with number two. Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg. Yeah. That's okay. So Snoop. And then who you got left? I think I know who you're going to say, but let me hear it.
Mystical.
Yes, sir. Hey, when Mystical said, I'm the 90 through the 94 Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
When he said that, you know what song I'm talking about too. Man, when
this is probably one of the most talented, and we got a lot now, so we can't forget about Crazy. Can't forget about
Fee.
We can't forget about Mac.
But, yeah, you know, Mac.
So, you know, if Mac wouldn't have went to jail, he probably would have been number one, to be honest.
But you would take Mac over everybody?
Everybody. Mac was the most talented artist on the label. I'm just telling you. But he never really got his just due. He left too young. He left too young. He went to the penitentiary too young. Like, he was like Nas for us. Go listen to his lyrics. You'll understand what I'm saying.
Be deep with it.
Hey, that's deep right there.
Hey, and P, with you sharing the same background as another major record label, I'm just curious, how come you guys never did any music together?
Well, you know what? To be honest with you, we was close by each other, but we was had two different paths. And I think that's the way God had it, because you look at Cash Money. Cash Money had built something and that's how it go. You know, a lot of our friends didn't get along with each other. So, you know, we're from the Magnolia, we're from the Cali, yo. And it's sad that that's how it is, but we got to change that narrative. And, but I've always been rooting for them. I've always been mm-hmm. rooting for them, because if they from New Orleans and they from where I'm from, I want them to win. Yeah. And, but I think it's more of just the people that was around us. It just wasn't right. Mm-hmm. You know, and at that time, New Orleans was the murder capital of the world.
Right.
And I just feel like, you know, we are stronger together. And one day, you know, I think people will get a chance to see us doing a lot. Boy, I just did a song with Lil Wayne of the Power record. So
yeah, that power go hard.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, we're growing up, growth come, you know, and change come. So I just thank God, man. I'm not the same person I used to be. I changed my life and I'm able to see through all the smoke screen. And I just think that God is growing us up. So, you know, no, whatever you might think, you don't think or whatever, you know, I mean, anything can happen. So yeah. I'm definitely still rooting for them and I want them to win. I mean, they definitely a talented group of people and they come from the same place I come from. So
yeah,
the love is there, man. You know what I'm saying?
No question. Last question. And we're going to transition to the superlative part of our show, P. I really want to hear your honest answer with this question. I would imagine you've been watching the verses, right? From Swiss and Timbaland, the things they've been putting on throughout this pandemic.
Yeah.
My question for you, would you ever consider doing the verses? And if so, who would you love to battle?
Man.
Come on, P. Don't do us like that.
Let me tell y'all. I want to go up against Nike. I want to be the masterpiece Jordan first. You know what I'm saying? I want to go up against Kellogg. I want to go up against, because I'm ready for the snack war. I want to go up against Aunt Jemima, Uncle Ben with Uncle Pete. Like, I'm telling you, man.
Okay, we understand that. But musically for the culture, we want to know, because they keep coming up with all these verses, and they all been spectacular, right? They've been great for the culture, especially during this pandemic. And I just heard Bun B say UGK and 8-Ball MJG, they might do a versus, which is going to be huge, especially for the Southern culture, right? But when you talk about Southern hip-hop, when you talk about Southern music, you can't have a conversation without having P involved. So I'm asking you again for the people.
For the people.
For the people, P.
Man, I don't want to battle nobody.
Okay, it could be a celebration. It could be a celebration. I won't get my white Dickies. I won't wear my white Dickies, P. Don't do me like that. I won't put on my white Dickies.
We ever have a celebration, man.
Yeah, it's a celebration. It ain't a battle. It's a celebration.
We're going to have a real, when this pandemic over, we're going to have a real No Limit celebration. The No Limit reunion tour is coming back. Going to be Mir X, Snoop Dogg, Mystical, Silver the Shocker, Fiend, Crazy. It's going to be crazy. That's the only thing I can tell y'all.
Like, you going to put on them white Dickies? You going to wear them white Dickies?
I'm going to wear them white Dickies, man. We about to get crazy.
All right, for sure. You got to keep us posted. But listen, if you happen to do a versus, just let us know who you going to battle. You know what, P? You don't even have to battle nobody. You can just do a versus with you. Just share your catalog with all the generation, because you know a lot of people don't really know how legit you were and your music was. Like these youngins, they don't understand back in the 90s, man, the 2000s, man, music started and ended with you. So I think it'd be great for the culture. You don't have to battle. Just let them know, you know what, Switz, Tim, I'm gonna do a versus, but it's just me. I'm gonna just share my catalog.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have my soldier rag around my neck. My white Dickies. Uh-huh. Every time you do a new song, I'm gonna do a wardrobe change. I'm coming out with the black Dickies, the brew. The brown. So you got to keep us posted on that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hey, so we transition to the superlative part of our show, P, and we hit you with rapid fire questions. We want your honest, unbiased answer. Number one for you, the Mount Rushmore of New Orleans rappers. Your top four rappers from New Orleans.
Lil Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yep.
Mir X. Soulja Slim.
Mm.
Hey, I got a quick question real quick. I believe it was you that spoke highly of NBA Youngboy.
Yes.
How you feel about him?
Yeah, I think that NBA YoungBoy is probably one of the most talented artists to come out of Baton Rouge.
He cold, man.
Besides Boosie. But I just think that, you know, with this young generation, man, you got a lot going on. So we just have to get the right people around us. So I feel like if NBA YoungBoy had the right people around him, man, he'd be the biggest artist in the world.
Man, I hear that from a lot of OG rappers for sure. Best memory.
You know, we got to let the young people live their life. You know, it took us a little while to figure that out, but you know, I guess that's how it is.
Right. What is your best memory of opening up for Tupac?
It was crazy, man. I went from one fan to millions, and all that happened opening up for Tupac. So, you know, that was my thing, coming through that audience and walking through them 20,000 people and just jamming with, you know, whoever believed in my music and let that spread and just having them believe in me, you know, riding back on that bus and having them listen to my music and be like, okay, you know, I like this. So, you know, I knew I was on to something.
Best three rap albums ever.
Best three rap albums ever.
Yeah.
You got to put Tupac All Eyes on Me.
Yes, sir.
Especially if you from the streets, you know, the Biggie Smalls album. I mean, come on now. You gotta put that in there. And I gotta go with the Ghetto Boys for me. You know, I'm from the South. So that you know, if you're gonna put the Ghetto Boys in there, something wrong with you, dog. For real.
Who was your favorite rapper from the group, Ghetto Boys? Who you went with? Bushwick? Who you went with?
See, I like Bushwick. I like Willie D. But I mean, Scarface was my favorite, man. Just
no question.
Just
Face Mob. Hey, that Scarface was hell, man.
Yeah. And then just watching a black man own that company, rap a lot, you know, back then, that was just, that motivated me, dog. That's to be honest. That motivated me, that whole era with rap a lot, with Lil J, Suave House, with Tony Draper, and Uncle Luke. Man, it's just, the Two Live Crew, that just motivated me, man.
Yeah.
What's your best sports lyric ever?
My best sports lyric. In the gym, you know, when people say they in the gym, you know, you wasn't there with me when I was in the gym. That's for real right there. You know, because everybody want to take credit for what, you know, what's going on, but they ain't really put the work in with you, but everybody want to eat the pie. So,
All right. I know you played with a lot of celebrities on the hardwood. If you can have your all time starting five of celebs, who would be in that starting five? It can be entertainers. It can be actors. It can be whoever. But when it comes to celebs, your top five.
That's easy for me.
Who you got?
Master P.
Yep.
Romeo.
Uh-huh.
Silk the Shaka. Two Chainz
and who?
And J. Cole.
J. Cole mean too. Okay. So who the best baller in the Miller family?
Oh, you know what? It used to be me, but my kids now, man. Like it used to be Romeo at one time, but now the boys, I mean, my ninth grader is 6'5". You know what I'm saying?
And he still got room to grow.
Yeah, he's still like, he quick. He'll dunk on you. He can shoot the ball. Like, y'all look him up, Mercy Miller. He shoot the lights out.
We got to get either Hersey or Mercy to Tallahassee for Coach Ham, man. We got to get one of the Miller boys now, Pete.
And then Hersey, I mean, you know, Hersey's so strong now and quick, man. Like, he's a real true point guard, 6'4" point guard. He'll dunk it on, he'll shoot it. So we got a talented family, but, you know, these youngsters now, they quicker. So I got to use my, you know, I can't dunk no more. So
yeah,
I just got to be able to.
You got to outthink them now.
Yeah, lean on them, P. You got to put that body on them, man.
Get big now. You know what I'm saying? It gets big.
All right, AP, man, you had the opportunity to play with both of these gentlemen, Tracy McGrady and Vince Carter. Who was better in your opinion? And both of those guys got games.
Now, I know y'all don't know about this. This dude, Vince Carter, is superhuman, dog.
Yeah.
He took a quart off the top of the backboard when we was in Toronto. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
He took it off.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they put a quarter on the top of the backboard with the shot clock at.
And he went and got it.
And he went and got it.
Yeah. And Tracy McGrady was, let me tell you something. I didn't understand this, dog. Like, how could you have two robots on the team? Tracy McGrady was.
He said two robots.
No, like these wasn't even human. I'm just telling you. So the stuff that Tracy McGrady did on the court, man, was crazy.
It was cool, man. Like it looked so effortless with Tracy.
Yeah, like
both of them boys from Florida, two Florida boys.
Yeah, I know. Right there, Daytona? Daytona, yeah.
Yeah,
Daytona.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's up. That's what's
I'm going to tell y'all one thing. We went at it every night, man. We went at it. Like, mm-hmm. You know, and then Charles Oakley was on that team with
I
us.
I forgot so y'all had Big Oak.
Oh, I know Oak.
Yeah.
So y'all know that's probably the real reason they let me go because me and Oak was close. And it was
no
like.
Questions. y'all were too real. Y'all were too real. Y'all had too much of the same personality.
Can't have too many of them. Can't have too many of them on the team.
The deal I had on the table, they had offered me $3.2 million the next day. It went away, but it wasn't because of basketball. Because if you look, I was putting in work. Mm-hmm. And Vince Carter, you know, you go back and look this up. Nobody don't know this, but he had a agent named Tank Black or something.
Tank Black
that
stole some money or something like that.
Yeah, he had got in trouble. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with me being on the team, they was like, nah, we don't want all this negative publicity. They thinking, you know, he come from the music. We don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And after that, man, you could go look at it because there's no way I was supposed to not be on that team. I was the last player to leave. Like all the Duke players had got cut before me. Go back and do your history. You're going to see it in my basketball documentary. Like
you were improving their bottom line because I think you had the top selling jersey. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, top selling jersey. And also, I mean, the last game, you know, I'm putting in buckets every game we played. So it wasn't like I'm getting buckets. They had guys that come from the top colleges in the U.S. that wasn't getting buckets.
Yeah.
So.
No doubt.
Know.
Well, it all worked out because you still eating good. And real quick, let me give the listeners and the viewers a quick input. Before we got started, we had issues with the connection, right? And P thought it was our end, but P live in a castle. He live in about a 50,000 square foot castle. So, you know, the connection in that house, man, is like, so P had to move around the house, man, for a bit to get this strong connection. Cause this man living in a castle right now, man, a legit castle, man. But this is the last question.
I was trying, dog.
No question. Hey, that's a good problem. That's a good problem to have though, P. That's a great problem to have. Yeah. Hey, last question for you, man. Give us a Saints prediction versus the Bucks this weekend. Give us your score prediction.
Man, we got to at least get 28.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have 28. I'm looking at them having like 14.
28 to 14.
Yeah, we got to do that, dog. And I know Tom Brady, the man, but you know, y'all know who we got it in that quarterback spot. I ain't going to even say no name, dog.
No question. And one thing I know about that Mercedes-Benz Dome in New Orleans, boy, that thing be rocking.
It's rocking, man. Jeez. I never won in the Mercedes Dome, man. I'm 0-3.
0-3. Shoot, I think I'm 1-2. It might have been 1-2. And there's something about the Mercedes-Benz Dome, yeah, man. That thing, man. When they had them fans in there.
Yes.
It's a great venue to have a sporting event. I can tell you that much. But Master P, man, we know you're busy, man. Thank you for joining us here on All Things Covered, man. Outstanding individual. So a few things that we're going to be watching out for Master P, right? The Reebok deal. If you get it, if you don't, it's already a big deal anyway, because you're showing us the ropes. But if you do get it, I think I'm going to go ahead and load up on you some gangster reeds. I'm going to get my apparel to support the cause.
Yeah,
and secondly, whenever you decide to do some type of verses, I know you say you're going to have the reunion tour coming along, but if you happen to do a verses from that castle that you in, just let us know as well. We're going to tune in.
All right.
Tune in. Right. And before we let you go, is there anything you want to pull up, Pia? We know you got a lot going on. You got the clothing line. You know, you got the noodles and everything like that. Yeah. And also, too, what that fried fish tastes like that you cooked the other night?
Man, it's crazy. That's my grandmother's recipe, so you'll be able to get that at Kroger's or Ralph's. But my thing is helping small business. Uh-huh. That's what it's about with me. Go to Master P. reviews.com and this show is only on YouTube, but it's about empowering, you know, small business and letting them get their shine. We want to promote their product and build our culture and our community. So we know if they get on, they're going to go back and help the community. And that's how we empower each other.
That's what's up. That's what's up. We definitely appreciate you, man. We're going to be staying tuned for everything that you got coming. Like I said, man, you're always welcome to come join the show anytime. Whenever you want to drop the movie, me and Pat P, we're going to be some extras. You don't even have to pay us anything. You know what I mean? We're on the house.
Yes, sir.
Be safe, P.
Yes, sir.
Thanks again to Master P, and thanks to everyone for listening to this episode of All Things Covered. If you like what you hear, make sure you subscribe and leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. We'll be back with you next week, where you can expect all things will be covered. Peace.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. Men's National Team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast. And I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.